Dear God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the ways in which you are working here in this space. God, it is a joy and a blessing to be able to gather here together. Different churches walking and moving through the same space with the same purpose to give you glory. And to God, what a gift it has been these last few years. And we pray, too, that you would lead us into the next stage for us as well, too. God, as we spend a little time just opening up your word and hearing the things that you have for us, we pray that you would open our hearts and that you would lead us here today, too. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, we're going to be, I'm going to invite you to turn to Colossians 1, if you want to open that up. And as you're finding that, I'll share my own little testimony for just a moment here of, I think every church prays, but not all churches pray the same. And I have been very encouraged by Restoration in the prayer that you have. Like, that is a core of who you are. And just the way that you live and carry that out has been inspiring to me. And I have felt over the last 2.5 years, my own personal prayer life grow by rubbing shoulders with you guys and by walking alongside you in that. And so I just, I thank you and praise you for that as well too. Well, it was 2.5 years ago, January 9, 2022, that we first had our joint service together. Two unlikely churches that God brought together to work together for his kingdom. And I've been so incredibly thankful for these past 2.5 years, right? We didn't know exactly how the relationship was going to work. We tried some things. We took some risks. Some worked, some not so much. But that was okay, right? We learned, we adjusted, we trusted God through the process. And as I was thinking about coming into here now, this space, right? Our last chance to maybe have a joint service here together. Hopefully there will be opportunities to do more again in the future, but as it is in this relationship, right, as I was thinking about this space, my mind went back to that first Sunday together. And I had at least titled in my notes, the message that week was United and Sent, which I think is fitting again for today. Which brings me back to Colossians, right? This was the passage that we looked at on that first Sunday together. So I want to read this for us. This is Colossians 1, beginning at verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a servant. All right, we have lots of differences. We know that, right? Bethel Restoration, we do things differently. And that has been okay, but really the thing that has united us, the one thing that we all have in common is we believe in that there is one God, and he is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and all things are created through him and for him. Right? He is the creator of this world, and it was created for him. It was created to give him glory, and that has been our purpose. That is what Bethel has been striving to do, give glory to God. Restoration, I know that's what you've been striving to do, to give glory to God. And so it worked for us to come together because we said, we can continue to give glory to God. We can continue to keep that as the thing that unites us, that as the thing that moves us forward. Because we have all been reconciled through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so 2.5 years ago, God brought us together. And he brought us together under that, right? That we are all under him. He is the head of the body of Christ. He is the head of the church. In 2.5 years now, that still remains true. I think it could be easy to look at us now and say, okay, restoration is moving on. Bethel is going to be moving on, right? And to say, hey, maybe even people from the outside will look at it and say, what went wrong? Why did you guys part ways? Like, clearly something had to go wrong. Maybe there's resentment. Where's the bitterness? And my hope is that after we leave this place, we can say, no, there's not bitterness. There's hope and joy. We know that even as we part physical ways, we are still united by one God. And that we are here to give glory to him. We are here as brothers and sisters in Christ. So we don't know exactly what the future looks like for all of us. Right? Our relationship's going to be different as we don't share the same space moving forward. But I hope that there are days in which we can continue to come together. I hope that maybe the men's Bible study will continue on and people from Bethel and Restoration will continue to meet together. Right? Maybe there's opportunities for us to have joint services again in the future because this isn't a parting out of bitterness. This is us saying, no, we're still united, but being sent to new places. So not only did we look at Colossians 1 on that first Sunday, but we also looked at Matthew 28, the familiar words from the Great Commission, right at the end of Matthew 28, where Jesus says, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And one of the things I love about this verse is first, not only the fact that Jesus begins it by saying, all authority in heaven and earth belongs to me, and then ends it by saying, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Right? So Jesus is saying, I never leave your side. No matter where you are, where you go, I am there with you. And now go into the world around you. And that word go is not just a command, but it's also more of saying like in your going, in the things that you are already doing. So Bethel, right, in your going, as you've been here, our calling has been to go and make disciples. Restoration, as you have been here, right, as you are in your going here, your call was to go and make disciples. That doesn't change when you move to a new location. The calling is still the same. So now in your going, wherever that might be, whatever next step that is to make disciples of all nations and to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's a restoration. We send you with joy. Grateful for your time here, but also hopeful and excited for your time over at Maplewood to be there, to be in that part of God's community and to bless them, to encourage them. And I hope and I know that you will, as you have to us, that you will be an encouragement, not only to the people that are in that building right now, but also to the greater community around them, right? To go. To make disciples, sharing the good news, proclaiming who God is. And so this isn't a parting because we are upset with each other. This is a parting because God is sending us to new places. Because God has more for us. Because maybe God wants us to cover more of Holland and Zealand with these people right here. Again, I don't know what people outside of this building are going to think. Right? Rumors spread quickly. And I do think that there's going to be people who are going to be like, what went wrong? Right? Why are you guys parting ways? What is the story here? People are going to jump to conclusions. And maybe that's the moment for us once again to just share what God has done in this space. Say, no, we've been grateful for them here. Restoration, I know we've been grateful for you, and I hear some of it. I hope it's true for all of you, right? That you've been grateful for us as well. Right? And that you can leave and say, no, God has done incredible things in the last 2.5 years. He's just moving us to the next phase where God is going to do more incredible things. So we don't part as enemies, but as friends and as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Hopeful for the opportunity of what is next. I think about Paul on all his missionary journeys. I imagine, right, he spends a decent amount of time at all these different churches, and I imagine that each time he leaves, there's a bit of sadness, right? He's like, I'm going to miss you guys, right? I hope to visit again. I hope we'll bump shoulders, but I'm going to miss you. And yet I know, and I'm excited that God's moving me to the next place where I can continue to share the good news. That's my hope and prayer for all of you as well. We're going to miss you. We're grateful for all of you, but also excited for what God is doing next. And with that, I'm going to pass it over to Dave.
Aren't you guys lucky? You get two messages today. Double for the money. No, I appreciate you sharing that, John. I want to have you turn to Acts chapter 4. And I just want to share my thoughts based out of Acts chapter 4. Just because as I was thinking of this time together and just so appreciative of Bethel and frankly what the Lord has done over the last 2.5 years, Acts 4 came to mind. And I'll give it some context and then just reflect on the last 2.5 years in light of this prayer. But here's Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 23. And a little bit of context, Peter and John, they had just seen a crippled man who had not walked for his entire life, in an instant was healed. And people all of a sudden were asking questions, and the man was jumping up and down, and Peter took this as an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And 5,000 men gave their life to the Lord, and probably many, many others gave their life to Jesus. But then there were some people that were upset, and they questioned Peter and John, and they persecuted Peter and John, and they threw them into jail for a little bit. And so these guys were beat up, and this is what they did right after they were released. In verse 23, it says this: when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city, they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." Every time I read this prayer and reflect on this prayer, I'm always amazed by a couple things. Where did these guys go? Where did Peter and John go when they were released from jail? They went to their friends. And I don't think we could ever underestimate that, the power of community, the power of not doing life alone. They went to people who were their friends. And what did they do? They worshiped, they prayed, but really they grounded themselves in the never-changing plans of God and His purposes. They didn't complain, they just cried out to the Lord together. They worshiped the Lord together. And what did they ask for? They asked for boldness and strength. And God, would you pour out your power? Would you pour out signs and wonders? Would you send us back out with great boldness? Which has always made me chuckle because I'm like, boldness is what got you into this mess. Boldness is what caused them to be thrown into jail. Their boldness for the gospel. And then the room was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And I still pray that that would happen. I still want to experience that, a worship gathering where all of a sudden the building starts shaking. I'm like, wouldn't that be cool? But I think about this. And as I reflect on this passage and this prayer, and I reflect on our relationship, Bethel and Restoration, over the last 2.5 years, I think this prayer, just for me, puts some things into a powerful context. Sometimes in life, as you're going through life, you never know who you're going to meet. One day can change your life. When you met your spouse, like there was a moment when you met them and you're like, wow, my life is different now. You meet people along the way that become friends and surprisingly deep kingdom partners. Bethel, you have become that with Restoration. In the midst of COVID, as my wife and I, we'd walk around this 2-mile loop that we have in downtown Zeeland. We'd pass Bethel every single day and we'd look at Bethel and we didn't know much about you. But then as we got to the end of 2021 and we were looking for a place, I reached out to Bethel and I heard a little bit about John and your leadership through Jed and the bridge. And I gave him a call and just said, hey, do you know of any space? But then Bethel and the leadership and John and the leadership launched into a time of prayer. And out of that came just another conversation that was around like, why don't you just come and worship with us? Why don't you worship in this space together? And I think about Bethel from a Restoration standpoint. You guys have become friends. You guys have showed us, and I shared this already, showed us the gift of hospitality. You have allowed yourselves to become uncomfortable by people that you didn't know all that well coming into your space. You've embraced the awkwardness of a quick transition between two services and people coming in and going out. You've opened up this building throughout the week, and people have encountered the Lord in powerful ways in this space. And again, we just say thank you. Thank you. You provided cookies. You provided coffee. You provided food. You have opened your arms to us and made us feel like home. And if I could be honest, there were places that we went as a community where we weren't wanted, where people said some things about the Restoration community that made us feel less than. Bethel, you have made us feel wanted. You have valued us. You have seen us as kingdom partners. And I can honestly say, if Bethel, if you are ever in need of help, Restoration and the Restoration community will come running. We are not leaving out of bitterness. We're not leaving out of, oh, this or that happened. We are being sent from this place. And there is, I'll proclaim this from the mountaintops, there is no issues between Restoration and Bethel. We are forever kingdom partners, all for the glory of God. I see in this passage that they went to their friends when they needed to be put back together. We came to friends. And we found a home. And we were welcomed. And we are being sent from this place better than we were 2.5 years ago. And that's all because of your love. I also look at this passage. They were united by their love of Jesus. Jesus and the never-changing plans of God were at the very center. As they worshiped and prayed together, they reminded themselves of the gospel and God's plan all along, that even though the world was chaotic, God's plan was still moving forward. I think about our time together. And again, yeah, we do things differently. We approach life maybe different. It's not wrong, it's just different. But the one thing that we have in common, the one thing that I've never questioned is your love for Jesus. Bethel, you love Jesus. You are living your life for Jesus. You have a leadership team that deeply loves Jesus, that is seeking his face every single day. And that's what made this partnership work, I believe, is because we have that commonality that the only thing that we want is for Jesus to be glorified. And I know that in the last 2.5 years, he was. But then I get to the end part. And again, this always has surprised me and has challenged me. Here they had proclaimed the gospel with boldness. They had seen many people give their lives to Jesus. And their prayer was simply this: fill us with more boldness. God, stretch out your hand to do miraculous things and fill us with your Spirit. As we as a restoration community feel led, called by God, as we have walked the last number of years, it has become clear who the Lord is calling us to reach, who the people that he's given us a heart for. And over the last couple months, as we prayed, it has become clear to move closer to Holland, the mission, the recovery community there. And that is where we are feel led to be sent, to Maplewood. And I know, Bethel, you guys are in the midst of that process and praying, God, where are you sending us? But I look at this prayer, and the prayer then is the prayer now. God, you're not done with us. All of us in this room, we're still breathing. At least that I'm looking at all of you. I think you're all still breathing. We're still breathing. There's still life in us. And as long as we are here, as long as we are still breathing, there's still a purpose that we have. And it's a purpose that John articulated out of Matthew 28, to go and make disciples. In the midst of our going and coming, to go and make disciples, to tell people about Jesus, to baptize them, to teach them all that we have learned, to tell them that Jesus is worth living for. And so my prayer is that we would be filled with more boldness. That Bethel, you would be filled with more boldness. That your love would be even more bold. That your proclamation of the gospel would be more bold. That your prayers would be bigger. And my prayer is the same for restoration. That we would never shrink back. That we would move forward in boldness and in the power of the Holy Spirit. All for his glory. But the reason that I was drawn to Acts 4, it's because of one last thing. And it's, I believe, what brought us together. Bethel and Restoration. See, again, yeah, there's differences. But there was one thing that both communities were doing. And I would challenge all of us to never stop. And it was simply this: we were praying. We were seeking the face of the Lord. Restoration was praying as our time was wrapping up at the bridge. We're praying, Lord, where do you have us? Send us. Holy Spirit, lead us. We want your direction. And I know, Bethel, your leadership was praying, God, would you bring some people to encourage us, to partner with us? And Restoration was praying, God, is there a church that we can come alongside of? And God answered that prayer in a powerful, powerful way. And I would say this is the challenge. Quite simply, never stop praying. Never stop seeking first the kingdom of God. Don't walk in human wisdom. Walk in kingdom wisdom. And many times, the ways of God is very different than the ways of man. Man can plan and strategize, but then all of a sudden God can give you a vision. And you might question that. But that vision is powerful because his ways are so much greater than our ways. And so I would simply say this to all of us: never stop seeking first the kingdom of God. Jesus said that. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything will be added to it. He'll take care of us. And so that's what I want to leave us with. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the face of Jesus every single day in your leadership, in your homes, in your lives. Be filled with the Spirit and walk in the power of the Spirit and watch what God would do in you and through you. And we want to wrap up our time together quite simply in a way that believers have worshiped for many years, and that's taking communion. Remembering it's the body of Christ that is given for us, his blood that was poured out for us, that it's this that unites us. I'm going to invite John to lead us into a time of communion.
We use the name communion, right? And I think there's so much beauty in why we call this meal communion. And the first is, the most important thing is it unites us with God, right? We were separated from God due to our sin, right? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We were separated away from him because of our sin, and then Jesus came and gave his body for us. He shed his blood for us. He went to the cross and saying, I'm taking your sins upon my shoulders and I'm dying for you. And so we have this meal as a way of celebrating that, celebrating the fact that Jesus brought us into communion with him by saying, I take that division and I remove it. The name communion, though, is also a reminder that we are in community with those around us. And we are not different from one another in the sense that we are all sinners who have been saved by Jesus. And so it's a joy to be able to come on that same common ground and enter into this space and have this meal here together. So first, will you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for an opportunity to share in this meal together. God, we know that it is a means of your grace. It is an opportunity, Lord, for us to remind ourselves of the sacrifice you made for us, to show us, Lord, that we've been restored with you, reconciled before you, and God, that it unites us with the brothers and sisters around us as we all have that same common ground, sinners who have been saved. And so we thank you, Lord, for the joy and the beauty of being able to celebrate this here together as well. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In just a few moments, I'm going to ask some of the leaders from Restoration and Bethel to come forward, and then you're going to come down the center aisles, you're going to take the elements, and then go back through the side aisles, back to your seats. Once everyone is seated, then we will take the elements together. So you're going to grab them and then bring them back to your seats together. There's also some gluten-free options. I'll have that on this side. So if you need that, there's that option will be on this side. If you are unable to come down the aisle, I'll be roaming as well. So I will bring the elements to you if you're unable to come forward. So the Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, he took the bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body given for you. Take, eat, and remember and believe." In the same way, he took the cup, and he said, "This is a new covenant sealed in my blood. So whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." I'd like to invite the leaders to come forward to grab the elements.